Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC
1360. People
who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hi everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing tonight, huh? Is everybody glad it's Friday? I can tell you I am. I had to drive into the studio today, and I came in because I have a very special guest, and of course all my guests are special, I have to admit that, but I wanted to come in for my buddy in Chicago who's going to be on the air with me in a minute or two, and so I had to brave the snow and the hail and the sleet and the lightning and the thunder and the madness of the Philadelphia drivers who don't know how to drive in the snow. Now, where I grew up, a foot of snow is just a light dusting. But around here, a quarter of an inch is cause for panic, sheer panic and chaos. But because of my guest that I'm having on today, I drove into the studio because he's very special, and so I wanted to be able to take callers, because normally when I'm not in the studio, I can't take callers because they just don't have the capability of hooking us all together, myself, a guest, and a caller. Why, I don't know, but sometimes you're better off in life not asking too many questions, and I prefer to operate on a need-to-know basis. So, listen. As always, if you want to contact me, you can actually, today you can call into the studio. So today you can call 856-227-1360. If you want to get in on the conversation we're going to be having shortly, that's 856-227-1360. My email is maggie@theunsolicitedopinion. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Shoot an email my way. I always love to hear people's opinions, unsolicited or otherwise. It's okay with me. Hey, I have an open mind, and I'm all about freedom and liberty, and that's the purpose of this radio show, quite frankly. My show is all about redistributing the truth. Unlike so many people we know, and I won't even mention their names, I don't need to, who are all into redistributing the wealth. Well, that's not the game I'm interested in playing. My game is called the truth, and nothing but the truth. So listen, I want to tell you about this one sponsor that I have, Digger's Realm, which is a website which has been following and fighting illegal immigration for about 8 years. So listen, if you want the truth and nothing but the truth, check out diggersrealm.com. Now, let me tell you about my guest that I'm going to have on today, and his name is Mark Rubin, and he is actually a very famous artist, and many in the art world, and even those who are just admirers of art, which is a human instinct, might know of his work, and many do know of his work. He's a very talented artist, and he happens to be in Chicago, and I stumbled upon him, actually. It was kind of an odd meeting. Somebody sent me a little cartoon that he had created, and I watched it, and I shot him an email to comment on the fact that I really liked his cartoon. It was very creative. And so he wrote back to me, and thus began the conversation, and I got to know Mark, and he's gotten to know me, and we thought that maybe we ought to bring what he has to say about the art world on the air so people can understand what's really happening. You know, for those of you who have been listening to my show for the last few months, I have been ranting and raving and bringing people on who can talk about United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. And that truly is about redistributing wealth. It's about controlling the economy, controlling the environment, and it's all about social justice, which has absolutely nothing to do with equal justice. It has to do with choosing certain groups over others. And the players who are behind this game called sustainable development are the same group of people who Mark made me aware of this fact, who had also infiltrated and taken over the whole art world. And so we are going to go to a commercial real quick, and then when we come back, I'm thrilled to bring Mark Rubin, the artist, onto my show. So hang on, everybody, because we're going to be back in about a minute and a half, and then Mark will be joining us.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? It's easy to have repair bills for thousands of dollars. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 130,000 miles, 5-Star Auto Protection can pay for the repairs that your auto insurance won't cover. Did you know that the average mechanic charges $120 per hour? Towing in a rental car will add at least $200 more to that bill. For less than $100 a month, for less than 1 hour of labor, our vehicle protection plan can cover all your major components, including computers and electronics, and also pay for towing, rental, and even roadside assistance for flats, lockouts, or when you run out of gas. If your manufacturer warranty is about to expire, or if you have no warranty coverage at all, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. And there's one thing I want to mention before I bring on Mark Rubin, who is my guest this afternoon. I wanted to mention that I am always looking for great sponsors and great advertisers. So if you are an admirer of the truth, as I am, and those of you who have been listening to me know that I have no problem calling a spade and a hoe a hoe. I don't pull any punches, and I believe that freedom and truth will outshine and outranks every other lie out there. So listen, if you want to get in contact with me, go to my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. There's a contact button there. Shoot an email my way, and I promise I will make you an offer you cannot refuse. So listen, I am excited. Mark Rubin is joining me, and he is Mark Rubin, the artist, and you can find him on markrubin.com. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Maggie.
How are you?
Very good. We had a light dusting of snow, so All the soot's gone, and it's all white and pristine again here.
Oh, well, that's good. That always makes the streets of Chicago look worthy of stepping on, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little sparkly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one of the nice things about winter is the snow when it's all pristine and clean and looks so pretty until it's all driven through and looks like, I don't know, dog's breakfast, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. Doesn't look too appetizing. So listen, let's talk about, I know you were listening because we had you on hold. Let's talk about the Dada anti-art movement, the movie that you created that's available on your website, markrubin.com, because I think let's talk about Dadaism. I don't know what it is, and I do now, but I didn't before. So why don't we start at the beginning? What's Dadaism, Mark?
Well, it was commonly recorded as a very short-lived blip in art history from about 1917 to 1923. And it began out of World War I, the tumult going on in Europe, the mass destruction and the suffering that was going on.
Okay.
And it was what we know of it from its beginnings was there was a very wealthy young man from Germany who was writing out World War I and all the precursors to World War I. He was writing them out in his family's lovely home in Switzerland. And he also thought of himself as an artist, and he went to school for it, and he had tried to place his art into galleries, and his art, I guess, was pretty crummy.
Okay.
Can't find it anywhere. And he became very disgruntled. And he decided to lash out at the whole world. He liked reading about communists, socialists, anarchists that were driving movements in Paris at that time. And he wrote what he called a manifesto. At that period of time, if you wanted to write something and you wanted people to pay attention, you wrote a manifesto. It seems that it's about art, but it's really about the upheaval of civilization, how to destroy civilization, and how he personally could lash out at all the people who were causing misery in the world. Of course, his heroes were the forces of communism, socialism, and anarchy. So when he moved to Paris at the end of World War I, he anxiously joined a small group of these political anarchists and devoted himself to the effort of anarchy in Western civilization. And he put his manifesto on the table, and it seems like 5 minutes later, the political progressives, who are now calling themselves progressives, three roots of anarchy in the world, socialism, communism, and anarchy, decided to call themselves progressives, and they were having a very hard time of getting their message across. The Bolsheviks were part of their group. They had taken over Russia, but everybody hated them. In Western Europe, people didn't want to listen to them. They walked through the streets with clubs and signs and bullied people. And it wasn't working for them because they were thugs. And civilized people don't listen to thugs telling them what to do, especially in a free country, and France was. So they learned to adopt the methods and words of his manifesto and make it their political mantra. And he and the couple of artists that he pulled in put on an exhibition that I think most people know about doves. When you see a dove painted, especially in modernism from the early part of the 20th century, these all came from the anti-war art exhibition that was staged in Paris, and it was sponsored by this new progressive movement. And they pulled in most of the great modernists of the era, from Matisse and Calder, Matisse and Cézanne and Picasso, and they pulled them all together to make doves in protest. Well, this group found out who they really were, mostly because of one very young artist at the time, Salvador Dali, who had gone to this group after reading an article about a new form of art they claimed to have invented called surrealism. And Salvador arrived on the scene just as all the artists were bringing in their dove paintings, and he found out that none of these so-called progressive artists created art. They wrote articles. He said they were all communists. He's a man I knew. And he explained to me that they were pretty much all communists that wanted dictators ruling the world, telling humanity what to eat, where to go, how to work, making everybody nauseatingly equal and miserable. And he went back to Spain right after this first exhibition of the birds, and he created what we now know of as surrealism. He remained at war with them through the arts for his entire life, well, for the rest of his life. I met him during my college years in the late 60s and early 70s and got to know he and his wife, Gala, much better. And they were able to explain to me the seditious activities of these people. It's when you read the Dada Manifesto, you learn that their goal was to destroy everything that's good in the world. I can sum it up for you by saying that they wanted to destroy art. Art was, before television, radio, telephones, art was very much a part of daily life. It had been important from the beginning of time, and they saw it as a place where now free artists that didn't have to always paint the church or politics could put up attitudes and express opinions and ideas, and the public was taking to this. Everybody was discussing beauty, color, and the mantras of civilization, of democracy, and of republics, and they wanted to destroy this. And at the end of the Dada Manifesto, which I do have posted on the website, the words which they used to infiltrate and destroy us culturally as a people, to take away our ability to make decisions, to say, I like that, it's my personal decision, you can't tell me what to like. They took this away by using the mantra that they say that, they called it Dadaism. Dada is the everything rejected that was evil and rejected should now be the goal of civilization. That Dada itself is the abolition of archaeology, of memory, of prophets, and of the future. Well, they were hitting religion, forward motion, freedom of speech, what had come before us that we couldn't learn from the past. We would only have a new outlined future put in place for us. And they saw destruction of civilization and liberty as the roar of contorted pains that give birth to a new civilization, a perfect civilization of control. And what I can say that's emphatic about what they've done is people from the progressives got together with whoever they could who was disenfranchised, who educated or wanted to be in politics, and they told them to infiltrate art museums, the new medias of radio as it came about, newspapers, any form of publication for educational books, to infiltrate and start planting their propaganda of a new world order into this material, and to start propagandizing slowly to infiltrate our civilization. They did it visually by declaring their anti-artists, people who created garbage and still do, plastic bags stuck on a wall and saying it's intellectual art,
pile of
dirt. They put them forward as great artists. And they had a long haul of it, but in the 1960s, in the United States, the progressives were able to coerce and create the National Endowment for the Arts. And in mid-1970s, right after I'd hung in my first museum show, which was a open competition, they took over the National Endowment for the Arts, and all of the open art competitions in the United States of America ended.
Well,
Mark,
on that point, I want to mention one thing that you talk about, the National Endowment for the Arts, and that makes me automatically think here in 2010 or in last year, I should say, when Barack Obama, when they were using and put that call out to all the artists to push Barack Obama's message and to create all this different artwork, and they did it through the National Endowment for the Arts because that came up, that was exposed through, I don't remember who exposed it, Breitbart or whomever, it doesn't matter who exposed it, but the fact was exactly what you're saying we see occurring here today in 2011. It's going on.
Yes. And everybody alive today has seen this attitude. Artists aren't worth anything. No artist is famous until they're dead. Why buy art? It's not worth money. It won't go up in value. Art is free. Get it off the internet. Buy a poster if you want one. That the futility that they put forward towards people that might want to become artists or towards people to even own art. they'll push you in any direction that can give them an outlet of propaganda, like flat-screen TVs on the wall. Or it used to be an armoire to block a wall where you would put art. Put your TV there. We saw these things subtly occur. And, my gosh, anybody who's under the age of 55 doesn't realize that their school books were very different in sixth grade from my sixth grade school books, and I'm not that much older.
Yeah.
But during that period of time, education concerned, oh, artists that used to live instead of historic artists. And that's why one portion of the Dada series on my site, they're all 10-minute parts, but part two is where I tell people to start, because everybody can understand seeing post-impressionist paintings and understand the revolution of a golden age that was budding with technology and invention and the Industrial Revolution giving way to a burst in our society, especially in America. And they were killing this stuff. They were telling you that it's not worth anything. You don't need art. You can't own it unless you know all about it. So what they were telling people was, you don't need to make a decision for yourself. We'll make it for you.
Yeah,
you don't need art as a 6-year-old in first grade.
Sure.
Because they know that when you make that drawing, all the decisions you make in that artwork, those are your personal decisions. And nobody can say it's good or bad or right or wrong because they're your decisions. So they wanted to subtly remove this from us, and they've done so.
Yes, they have. Mark, listen, on that note, hold on, because we're going to go to a break, and then we'll be back in about a minute and a half. Listen, everybody, we are talking with Mark Rubin. His website is markrubin.com. You need to go there. I'm going to tell you, it is going to blow your mind. He's a great artist, and he is a wealth of information, because I have to tell you, Mark, until I ran across your website, I really didn't understand why they were calling a crucifix in a jar of urine art. It made no sense to me. It certainly made me have no interest in really going and looking at a lot of galleries unless I knew what it was they were going to be putting on display, like Monet or something here at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. But otherwise, you know, I just didn't bother, because I just thought, well, if this is what they're calling art, it's pure crap. Absolutely. But listen, on that note, hang on, because I know you got a lot of information. We're going to go to break right real quick, and then we'll be right back. Everybody, this is Maggie. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom225.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom225.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 225.com. Freedom225.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from 5-Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Some have said down through history, if you last.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and I'm speaking this afternoon with Mark Rubin, and that is Mark Rubin, the artist, and you can find his work on his website, markrubin.com, and Mark is spelled with a C, not a K, and so welcome back, Mark. Now listen, I've got a question for you. One of the things that I read that I thought was pretty interesting that you had written on your website in your Dada manifesto movie that is on your website, you wrote that art is memory, the future, the sum of humanity, a journey and an expression of God.
Yes, yes. And that was something that I discussed with Salvador Dali in 1976. And that's what I came away from the conversation with. And it's the truth. Art was the first thing that man did. I used to have arguments with my first curator, three doctorates in literature, and I said, you know, the first caveman who wanted to communicate ran out of the cave. He sees these people sitting out in front of the cave. He comes running up, and he's going, ooh, 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 and he's pointing. And nobody knows what he's saying. So he picks up a stick, and he draws a bison on the ground. And he's going, dinner. He's saying the first word, dinner. He goes, ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, they see the picture, and they go, ooh, 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 and they all go and get the bison, and they have a feast. And from that moment on, humanity drew pictures. We have a history of our prehistory because it's drawn on cave walls. Even in the ancient world, as we civilized, the progressives will tell you there was no color in the world. They're lying. They like to revise history, and yet every building in every ancient city was painted on the outside, and the walls inside had paintings. They didn't make paintings on canvas or paper. They didn't have paper, and they didn't waste cloth for painting because they wore it. But their walls were painted, so the whole world was filled with color. In fact, there were wars fought over getting certain minerals to make colorful paint from for various city-states. There were skirmishes over these things. So when they talk about taking art away from us and turning off the public, they're turning off something as natural to us as breathing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to choke us all up.
Well,
and art is truth. Art is life.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's so fascinating to me. I'm so glad I stumbled upon you, Mark, because you have enlightened me tremendously, because I really never put it together. I didn't know why they were calling a toilet seat nailed to a wall art. You know, I thought it was just nonsense, and maybe they just did too many drugs, because I certainly didn't think that was art. But I didn't realize that there was an underlying movement behind all of this to make people turn their face and turn their head and their mind away from art.
Well, what Tristan Tzara, who wrote the Dada Manifesto, was using his words for were fighting his jealousies and his anxieties over artists who were producing beautiful art. But when it became political, the political people saw it as, we should get these people together who hate art the way it is, who hate the system of art and the history of art and how art is made and how it's growing and continuing from its birth. They decided to stage art which wasn't art, to take a found object, and you've all heard of found object art, where you take a pile of junk and you put a price tag on it. That artists do that. And Marcel Duchamp's, who had done probably the greatest piece of Cubist painting the world had yet seen, he became inviolent to his own art and took this wall urinal and carried it into an art exhibition, put it on a pedestal, and called it Fountain. Now, if it was really art, he would have made it.
Exactly.
Every part of it. But it wasn't. In fact, it was a protest to real art. And the progressives said, we're going to call this the real art, that humans can't make art. It's garbage, so we're going to take anything out there that anybody wants to throw in our face. It's ugly and detestable. And we're going to make people believe that that's art. And from that little seed, we're going to end up controlling their brains by the end of the 20th century.
Well, another thing, Mark, that you had written, that this Dadaist movement is anti-culture, anti-law, anti-religion, anti-family.
Yes, because that's the mantra. I have the Dada Manifesto posted on the first page of the Dada movie. It's below an introductory article, but you can read the whole thing through this obnoxious lyrical literature that Tristan Tzara wrote, but you will see the phrases in there that they wanted to cause anarchy in the world, and it says right in the manifesto, if I read it, every product of disgust that is capable of becoming a negation of the family is Dada. And they went further when they say Dada is the destruction, the abolition of prophets. That's religion. If it's the abolition of the past or archaeology, which would be history, they're saying we'll rewrite history to suit us. And if it's the abolition of the future, it's called futility, that will tell you what the future is. So they were, in fact, destroying those things.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing that I read, and I thought this was fascinating, and maybe if you remember it verbatim, you can finish it for me, but you have written on there, we are like a raging wind ripping up clothes of clouds.
Oh, yes. That's from a whole paragraph that is talking about we are anarchy. We will destroy civilization, and out of all of this beautiful destruction and all of this suffering will come a new, pristine civilization. Mankind will live better than before because we're going to write it. And the fact is that the people in the political movement were basically criminals. When people
they
started
still
writing,
are, Merck, and it hasn't changed.
No. And when people started writing to me and saying, could I post something about Dadaism, because they knew of me and they knew of my attitudes on it, that I said, well, I really don't know what good it's going to do. I don't know who's going to pay attention to it. But by putting it in simple terms, I'm hoping that everybody can understand these little facts that people who own art know. They get up in the morning and they walk through their house, and there's something special. There's their own identity. They've collected all of these things that nobody else can own. They're one-of-a-kind things. And that's their personality, and they feel that little taste of specialness as being an individual, like it's my own little museum. And it gives you a special feeling that you only get by owning these things. So I think that that's probably the most important point to answer your question with.
Well, one of the things you had mentioned to me in a conversation we had had, I had talked to you about when my sister-in-law was dying and I was there taking care of her, and she was watching that home show you had mentioned to me, Decorate a Home. Well, I can't think of the name of it, but you know the one what's it called, Mark? That home.
Oh, there's too many.
Well, one of the home shows on the Home and Garden TV station where they design this home or decorate the home to sell it or something like that. And one of the things you mentioned to me was how they don't display any artwork on any of these walls, and it's an intentional thing.
Yes, just yesterday I watched. It's called Design to Sell.
Yes, yes.
And it's a fun show, but my God, they're showing these houses before they get rid of the obnoxious interior design work so they can get it to sell to the public who only accepts beige and brown and tan and granite counters. They'll show the room, and all of the artwork that's on the wall has a blur box over it. You cannot see their paintings. Yet at the end of the show, there might be some art up, which is probably printed. There's no signature on it. It doesn't look like anything. It's pure Dada. It's splattering paint on something in colors that match the new decor. That's how they use the progressive attitude to negate your personal taste from your environment.
That's just such a simple thing what you just mentioned there. But I'm sure that now there's a lot of people who are listening. They're going to go to that show and they're going to pay attention and recognize that they're blurring the paintings on the wall. And it's an intentional thing. And the thing that I think a lot of people might say hearing this, they might say, oh, you know, they're just nuts. They're not really trying to deny art to people by doing that. There's some other motive. That's just they're conspiracy theorists. But everything you're saying today has nothing to do with a conspiracy. It has to do with a fact. These are facts. Everything you describe about this man who's been behind this Dada movement are facts. They're not fictional characters that you just created.
No, it's all right there for everyone to read. And actually, on Wikipedia, they still give an authentic definition of Dadaism. It's an anti-art movement set on destroying art. And when you go to look it up in other places, it's just D-A-D-A, Dada. You'll find out it's a word that's meaningless, or it's an art movement. And you realize the progressives have gleaned the internet, they've gleaned books. You can't read about it, you can't read about their motives, but I've lived them. And I know countless other artists that live with this every day. Our art is beautiful. If we go to exhibit it into a museum or any other public format with any sense of public funding going on, we are denied access to those venues. But if you're one of their gang and you create propaganda for the Progressive Party, which is why I painted a portrait of Obama and destroyed it on video, which I have to put the link back up on my homepage.
Yeah, you do, because I wanted to talk about that too, Merck. So yeah, you need to. People need to see that. That's just a classic.
Well, I wanted to look like Rod Serling. I had a lot of fun with it. But, you know, it was, they just wanted to take away the format for artists. So what you don't see, you won't miss. And they do that quite often. I think when people realize how much art is not there for them to see, that if you go to look for a painting for your living room in a new house, let's say,
okay,
people come to me all the time. They say, I can't find anything. And they'll say, but then I can't afford it anyway. And I say, what about a print? I make giclée. I can make them very large for you. I can fit your budget. And they smile. And then they're asking me these questions. Why can't I find anything?
Yeah.
And I said, because they don't want it seen. I'm a maverick. I've been fortunate in this lifetime to have great patrons, and I'm a maverick, and I'll do what I want. I'm going to stay in public. I'm going to do what Salvador and Gala Dali told me to do, which is be in their faces. I mean, they said there was no time, that history and time were ridiculous. There is no such thing. Salvador painted the persistence of time, the melting clocks paintings that everybody seems to know about. He painted it. It went right in their face. They couldn't hurt him. He was more famous than them. But today, artists are not allowed to be famous. In fact, when was the last time any of you decided you were going to go to an art museum because there was going to be an exciting art exhibition? Or when was the last time you remember hearing of the emergence of a great artist who became a household word, like Pablo Picasso? You just don't hear that anymore. They have stifled all of the public, well, any public information, any public showing of people, they put it down, they kick it to the curb silently. And artists are singular people. We don't have an army, so they can get away with it. And the public loses.
Sure.
All of you out
sure.
there lose.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's take another break real quick, Mark. And then when we come back, let's talk about the Yellow Submarine. The commentary that you have on the Yellow Submarine video that the Beatles did back in the 60s. So we're going to go to a break real quick. Everybody, you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My name is Maggie, and my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Go there, and you want to go to markrubin.com as well. I'm telling you, you want to go check out what this man does. It's magnificent. We'll be right back. Hang on.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? It's easy to have repair bills for thousands of dollars. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 130,000 miles, Five Star Auto Protection can pay for the repairs that your auto insurance won't cover. Did you know that the average mechanic charges $120 per hour? Towing in a rental car will add at least $200 more to that bill. For less than $100 a month, for less than 1 hour of labor, our vehicle protection plan can cover all your major components, including computers and electronics, and also pay for towing, rental, and even roadside assistance for flats, lockouts, or when you run out of gas. If your manufacturer warranty is about to expire, or if you have no warranty coverage at all, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
Everybody, this is Maggie, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my guest today is Mark Rubin, the artist, and you can find his website, markrubin.com. Definitely, you want to go check it out. All of you out there listening who think, I don't care about art, there's more to Mark than just the beautiful artwork that he creates, because he's got a message for you, and that message, and I was just sitting here thinking while we were on break, how sad it is that we live in a society that denies people knowledge. There's a base cruelty about that, to deny somebody knowledge so that they can be a better individual and contribute to this world. There's an evil. There's pure evil. When people don't tell other people the truth, there is absolutely, that is pure evil. So, anyway, we're joined by Mark Rubin. Hey, Mark. How you doing? Listen, let's talk about the Yellow Submarine video that's on your website. Let's talk about that.
Well, the Yellow Submarine was a movie made by a group of artists that were contracted by the Beatles. They were given full carte blanche to create a movie, and they chose a group of musical pieces that the Beatles put up on an album, not thinking of them as a story, but as individual songs. And they formulated this story of a clash between good and evil. The story takes place in Pepperland. I think many people have seen it. And Pepperland is overrun by the Blue Meanies. The Blue Meanies come and they bonk people. That's the term they use. They throw things at them, whatever, and this beautiful, colorful land filled with people playing musical instruments and dancing is immediately turned gray. The people turn gray and they freeze from the Blue Meanies. And one guy gets out and goes and retrieves the Beatles from London and brings them back to be Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and to make music and to bring Pepperland back to life and defeat the Blue Meanies. And these guys were so heroic. They were up against the progressive elements in Britain, which had been trying to force the Beatles to do concerts out of the country. People don't know about that. And they were also told that their movie was not going to be aired in Britain. And I don't know whether it was first released in the United States or Germany or where else, but I don't believe it was first released in Britain. And they were quite heroic. Quite heroic. They made this animated feature knowing that they may never work again, because the powers that be didn't want to know about truth, beauty, and freedom. They didn't want the public to know about truth, beauty, and freedom and individual thought. And it just seemed to me that I should include it because people could relate to what that movie is and what it represents. In fact, I put the whole Dada Manifesto movie together and sent it off to Glenn Beck. And Maggie, you know, you and I have both spoken
about
him.
Yeah, we have.
I see him as someone who was raised, he's a lot younger than me, and he was raised not knowing that he is a product of the progressive indoctrination. He obviously doesn't seem any weird for the fact that he grew up in a fine family outside of Seattle, but by the time he was a young teenager, he wanted to be a radio DJ. He ended up becoming a shock jock, completed almost 2 years of college, and then became a disgusting shock jock, became an alcoholic, lost his first wife or whatever, and then he reclaimed himself, thinking that, oh, he found God and he's good again. And he's, since 9/11, he's been on his mantra with what's good for America. Well, the information he disseminates is great, but because he has no understanding of things like Yellow Submarine, he doesn't realize he's still part of a generation that is trained to be separate, that you only know your generation. People older are bad. They made the bad stuff in your world that you're living with. People younger, they're stupid. So you're chopped up. Then you're chopped up by how much money you earn. Then you're chopped up by race, and you're chopped up by location where you live. He's unaware of that. He's also unaware of the fact that he likes immediate gratification, that he has built-in expectations of how life's supposed to be and what kind of stuff he's supposed to have. He doesn't understand that he has a sense of entitlement. And what do we see as a reaction? Somebody screams at him from another network or on the Internet, and he yells at them for 10 minutes of his show, and we're all tuned in to find out, where did Van Jones go today? What's Cloward and Piven up to? We want the info so we can use it to make a better America, and he's crying and complaining. And I find that it's, you know, I try to write to him. He doesn't write back. He doesn't acknowledge me. We sent special delivery packages to him. This is ridiculous because he is a product of the very thing that he thinks he's fighting. And until you look around and understand that you are probably a product of this sense of self-entitlement and how life is supposed to be, no risk involved, you don't really get a full understanding of what's going on in our country. To me, America's like when you build homes in a rundown neighborhood and you gentrify them. People run across this problem of all of a sudden the shift tilts, and the renters who have destroyed the neighborhood into a slum, those people realize that, oh my God, there's a wave and there's too many gentrified houses here. And they rise up and scream and spray paint everything. You see them on TV saying, they're running us out of our neighborhood. We can't afford to live here anymore. And they just start trying to be destructive. Well, to me, the progressives are at that point now because the Tea Party, which is the American Party to me, it's American people, they're the gentrifiers. And the progressives are screaming bad language, and you're fomenting hate, all you people, and you're evil, and we know you're Nazis. They're doing this because they're spray painting the public. But the inevitable is happening. The neighborhood will gentrify, and we have a bright future coming. It's just that if you don't know what happened to fine art in our country, and you'll never understand why you're not happy at home, why you don't really find it easy to make a simple decision for yourself. And that, to me, is something that I had to put out there.
Well, I think, Mark, that so many people don't realize the extent that progressives and their progressive ideology has infiltrated and permeated every aspect of our lives. That's the thing I think that a lot of people really haven't figured out yet, and it's very hard. You need to step back out of that hole. You've got to step back out of the play and become a spectator, and then you're able to see the lights come on and you're able to recognize these different things. But People don't realize, Mark, that this progressivism, he has been like a poison, that he has been coming through the walls and in your sleep and in the air. It's everywhere around you, and they have infiltrated every single thing of our lives. That's, you know, that's the biggest thing, I think.
Oh, I don't think that lady would have fallen in a fountain. Your YouTube video.
Yeah.
Because she was texting and not paying attention, if we were living in a world where people paid attention. And a little thing like art, that everybody says, oh, it's just a little thing, it's an enormous thing. And it's that people who own art don't text and walk down the street and get hit by a car. There's a difference there. People who are aware of themselves and the environment they live in, the environment they work in, are aware of the people around them. They want information, and not part of the information. They want all the information. They don't want to rationalize or hear rational lies. They want to make a logical decision. They want to use reason to take logical facts and put them together for themselves. And it's been very easy for them to propagandize us into believing that the main networks, whom they obviously own, it's like criminal behavior the way they use money to own things, that we're only given part of the truth. And we've all become accustomed to accepting it until something called Fox News came on the air. And that you don't have to be part of the we belong to the Democrats to be an American, that the other people are bad and they're going to hurt you. When you get the whole story, you go, wait a minute here. The Democrats don't seem so good right now. And the last election proved it. People woke up.
Well,
what do you think?
Well, yeah, I do. I think a lot of people woke up. But I think that as much as you get some more information out of Fox, none of them give us all the information. None of them are everywhere. Exactly. That's why it's so critical that people glean their information from a variety of sources and not just one person that they listen to every day at 6 o'clock. You know, they really need to look beyond what they've always done. They need to move beyond that, and they need to really do some research, because there's a lot of information out there, Mark, that they just aren't getting. Now, listen, let's talk about, because we've only got about maybe 8 or 9 minutes left. Let's talk about your Obama movie video, because I want people to go to your website and see that too, because it's absolutely incredible. You're so creative and talented. And then I want to talk about your Atrocity 9/11 painting. But let's talk about your Obama movie video, if we could, for a little bit.
Well, because I felt the Great Depression coming, I and my curator and my other partner, we decided to close my expensive gallery location, and we went to the west side of Chicago, the actual neighborhood where Martin Luther King had lived.
Okay.
And it's a black neighborhood today, but it had been a Jewish neighborhood. And moving out there, I had no idea how I'd be treated, because I'm Jewish, and black people and Jews in Chicago is not supposed to be a good mix. Well, that was a Jewish neighborhood. They welcomed me with open arms. They always dressed to come to my gallery, which made me nuts because I wear blue jeans. And I met ministers, I met lay people, I met the kids of the neighborhood, the young families. And when Obama was elected, they all seemed happy. They were very quiet, but they seemed happy. And I knew that it was that Martin Luther King adage, that now they could feel like they belong to America. So I did this beautiful portrait of Barack Obama thinking, looking down in his palms, thinking. And I thought, I don't like the man, I don't trust him. But if he's doing something wrong, I can't be blamed. And if he's doing something right, okay. So I made this portrait, and they all came to see a big opening event, and everybody walked away from the painting. They wouldn't look at it. When I asked them, I found out that none of them had voted for him. They didn't trust him, that there was a war between Islam and Christianity going on in the city of Chicago in the black community. None of them trusted him, and they were saddened. He was not a Martin Luther King for them.
No, because he's not.
When the NEA debacle was unearthed, and it was by a young artist who had phoned in to be part of some art thing for the NEA, I was really infuriated for the last time with the National Endowment for the Arts. And I said, I'm going to make this movie. I'm going to talk about what it is to take art over for propaganda purposes by the White House, which is like what they used to do in Russia with artists. And I'm going to make this movie, explain it, and in it I'm going to put on a mask and be humorous and destroy the painting while playing a video in the corner of the movie, which is from the 1950s, and it's called Make Mine Freedom. And the movie, it's a cartoon. It's so apropos to today that I thought, well, this is a cute package, and it's a little 10-minute movie. And that's how it came about, and I didn't realize it would go viral and then have a slow period and go viral again, and it's now going viral once more. And people write to me, and they thank me for it.
Well, it's...
And it's weird, because I'm just saying, open your eyes, look around.
Well, it's, you know, you couldn't have picked a more apropos cartoon than the one you put in the corner as you tear apart the portrait you painted of Barack Obama, because it's all about communism and socialism and what a hustle all of that is. So I mean, it's so perfect. I know thousands of people will be going and looking at that again, Mark. They need to, because they really need to see exactly what it is you're saying to them in that little 10-minute video you did. It's a classic. It really is.
Well, thank you. Did you notice who the hero, who the strong opinion hero is in Make Mine Freedom and the little cartoon? It's a man called John Q. Public.
Oh, okay.
I said, that's the Tea Party right there.
Yeah, isn't it, though? It really is. So let's talk about the Atrocity 9/11 painting that you painted, and because we've only got a couple more minutes. So let's talk about that, Mark.
Okay, well, first I want to reiterate to people, because they get my spelling wrong. It's MarkRubin.com.
Okay. And let me tell them, before you get started on your Atrocity 9/11, that podcasts of this show, as well as links to Mark's website, will be on my website. So everybody, Mark with a C, Rubin, RubinRubin.com. So go ahead, Mark. Let's talk about Atrocity 9/11.
Well, as 9/11 unfolded, that was actually the day I had moved my gallery to the suburbs, and I was opening that day. And I woke up in the morning, and I'm looking at the Twin Towers on fire and thinking about a lady who I have known since I was 9 and she was 8. I'm thinking about her husband, my godchildren, and the fact that they live 40 floors worth in distance from Ground Zero in Manhattan. She lives right across from City Hall. And I called up just to make sure nobody was home, and Sharon was there in her home office, freaking out. One plane had flown over and hit the South Tower, I guess. And then when I was talking to her, the second plane flew over and I heard it. And she said, oh my God, we're under attack. I just called my dad. He didn't believe me. He said, you're going crazy again or something. Don't worry, we're not under attack. There was an accident. And she said, but I know we're under attack. I'm terrified. And somebody jumped from a tower, and she screamed, and it'll go through me for the rest of my life. And I sat, and I sketched as we were talking, and we talked till the phones, and everything went dead at her house. And she said, you have to promise me something. And it wasn't until 9 hours later from her parents' house on the Upper East Side that she finished that sentence and said, when she cried and said, promise me you'll paint it so no one will ever forget. And what I did was I made a painting in the same size relation as Guernica by Pablo Picasso, which had been at the United Nations for a year and was about World War II. And I made this painting 7 by 14 feet. I have taken it to Ground Zero. In fact, I was the standing memorial at the last 9/11 memorial celebration in Manhattan. And those things, it's the only sad painting I've ever made, but it's history and it had to be put down. It's just the facts. But there's, even though it's death and destruction, I have angels in the sky.
Yes, you do.
Because this is America.
Yes, you do. Listen, Mark, I want everybody to go to your website. Everyone, we have been speaking today, or I have been speaking today, with Mark Rubin, the artist, Mark, MarkRubin.com, please. You want to go to his website. You want to look at Atrocity 9/11 for those of you who are unfamiliar with it. You want to watch his Obama movie. You need to see his the Dada Anti-Art Movement movie because you really need to understand what's going on here. There's something under the surface here transpiring. Listen, Mark, thanks so much for coming on my show. I really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Maggie.
Thank you. Everybody, we've been speaking with Mark Rubin. Again, markrubin.com. You know I love to go to Oz because somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. You can hear my show again on Sundays at noon on micro1650am.com. You can also hear me replayed daily via NetTalk World, TalkStream Live, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Listen, everybody, keep your chin up because there are more of us than there are of them. Take care, everybody.
Over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do.